says 2 a.m. Yeah, she's not playing yet. Is she done?
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone today. If you're a visitor, we're especially glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. The flowers on the communion table are in memory of Elaine Cater from her beautiful memorial service yesterday. This Saturday is Olympians and Gopher Buddies Fast Car. It will be held at the church from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. All are invited to attend and bring either a Hot Wheels or a Matchbox car to race. There will be pizza, desserts, and trophies. The next women's Bible study with Dale Fedora will begin the week of February 4th. The cost is $17 for materials. Please see your bulletin for the times of the meetings, and for other details, see Dale. In your bulletin this week, you'll find a directory update sheet. All members and attenders are encouraged to complete the sheet and return it by February 9th. You may email it to the address in the bulletin or leave it at the welcome desk. The Heart to Heart Widows group will have a soup and sandwich Valentine lunch on February 14th, that's a Friday, in the fellowship hall beginning at noon. A sign-up sheet is on the welcome desk. That's all the announcements. Please refer to your bulletin for the regular weekly meetings.
I nearly forgot. Well, I just want to let you know, we had our business meeting this last week, for those that weren't there, and the motion did pass, so our pulpit committee will be reassembling here shortly, and we will be looking for an associate pastor for family ministries. If you have any questions what that will entail, feel free to ask any of the deacons or myself.
Well, good morning. Pastor is not here. Yes, you're wondering. Dakota has strep throat and she's in the hospital, and I think she has COVID. So that's where the family is. So we want to keep them in prayer. But let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day. We do pray for Pastor and his family and Dakota. Father, we pray for healing. We pray to bring them back soon. And we do pray for the service today. We thank you for it. We thank you for songs of worship. We pray it will be honorable to you. And as we open your word, Father, we pray that our hearts will open as well. In your name, amen.
Well, let's sing a song of praise to our great God. And since Pastor is not here to play the guitar, we're going to need you to fill in with extra loud voices. So please stand as we sing praise together.
How great is our God, who alone will see how great. is our God, and all will see how great, is our
Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you that your word is truth and you're a gracious God and your love is there for us despite ourselves. Father, we bring before you our request. We think of Dakota and her strep throat and COVID and the entire family who's feeling ill. Father, we just lift them up before you. We pray for your hand of healing upon them. And we pray that you'll bring them all back to us very soon. Father, we think of Susan Saris. She is now home. We pray for her as she awaits more results from testing and begins to heal. And we just pray that those tests will be favorable. Father, we think of Linda McFarland, who went through knee surgery. And we pray for her speedy recovery. We pray for rehab. And she'll have full use of her knee again very soon. We think of Terry Woodside, who is preparing to go to radiation. Father, we just pray that this radiation will be very effective and just be targeted and be able to eradicate the issue that she has. We do pray for Albert, and we pray for his continued recovery from his surgery. We pray that he'll have complete restored health. We think of Fred Peterson, who's been through a lot. We pray for healing for him. We pray that his health will be just restored, and he'll be back with us and just being himself once again. We do pray for Betty Brennan. We pray for favorable results for her scans. And we do pray for Brenda Humes and Marjorie Craven and the mourning of the passing of their mother, Elaine. We are thankful for the services yesterday, but we do pray for comfort and healing that only you can bring. We also think of area churches, Father. There is area churches that are struggling throughout Salem County. We pray that you'll go before them. We pray for great wisdom. We know that Satan wants to destroy the church, but Father, you are greater, and we just put our faith and trust in you. And Father, we pray for these churches. We uplift them. We pray that they'll just keep you in the center and in their thoughts, Father, and just strive to serve you. So we pray for all the needs in the area churches. And we do pray for those who are not feeling well throughout the congregation and people and friends that we know. We know it is a time of year where sickness seems to prevail. So, Father, we do pray for healing. And, Father, we do pray for wisdom for the new leadership within our country. We pray that these men and women will just seek after you. Father, you are the founder of our country. Father, our country is based on your word. So, Father, help us to follow it and to speak to hearts and lives within our government. And we do pray for the missionaries of the month, Jason and Laura Campbell. We pray that their needs will be met. We pray that we'll be faithful in uplifting them and other missionaries that we support, Father. In prayer and financial giving, we're thankful that this church is a missions-minded church. And Father, we do pray for the services today and your word. We're thankful that it is truth, Father, in your name. Amen.
Let's continue to worship in song. And as we sing, children in first through third are dismissed for youth church. Please stand.
Stains, he took his seat.
Okay, today's scripture reading is Philippians 4, 4 through 8. It's Philippians 4, 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything is praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
Good morning. Well, we are, Jay, if you're watching this, we are definitely praying for you and your family. We hope Dakota recovers very quickly. I wanted to share something this morning about something that I often refer to a lot in counseling, but also something that's applicable to all of our lives at different points, each and every day. Because something I genuinely believe is that if we have principles that we find in Scripture, they should be true not only in the extreme situations, but in the everyday situations. And so one of the topics that comes up a lot is our emotions. We talk a lot about our emotions. It's all throughout our society. And we say, I feel this way. I feel like this is the way it should be. We have movies about emotions now. We got the Inside Out movies. And we have all sorts of different things to talk about our emotions. But the challenge with our emotions is, how do we control them? I had a professor tell me once that controlling our emotions sometimes feels like it's nailing Jell-O to a wall. And I've never tried to do that, but I can picture how that might look. And every time, it shows this picture of every time we try to control our emotions, if we're not intentional on how to actually do that, it just slips through our fingers all the time. As soon as we think we have it under control, something may come up that causes it to slip through our fingers again. But I think God actually gives us some principles on how do we actually control our emotions. And so I think when we talk about this topic, it's important to start with our foundation. And of course, that starts with the gospel. It starts with who Christ is and what he has done for us. You see, a lot of times in our lives, I think we very often, sometimes we think about the gospel and coming to Christ as the end goal, right? We go to share the gospel. Our goal in life is to let other people know and believe in the gospel. But I don't think that's the actual end goal. I think that is the starting point of our lives. Trusting in Christ as our Savior is both the beginning and the end point. There's a book written by Milton Vincent called A Gospel Primer, and he talks about this a lot. And this idea that we need to remember that when we trust in Christ, we've just gotten to the beginning of the race. It's not the end of the race. It's not the end goal for someone. Christ doesn't just tell us to share the gospel. He calls us to make disciples in Matthew 28. And so this is important to understand, because sometimes we say, well, Christ has saved me from my sins. He has saved me from eternity in hell. And that's it. That's all the blessings there is. That's the best blessing there is. And I agree with that. That is the primary reason he died for us. But Christ also said, I have come to give life and life abundantly. And I don't think that just applies to our eternity in the future. I think that also applies to our life now. And so we have to understand what principles, what truths, what promises has God given to us for our lives today? And how do those things influence the way that we control our emotions? And so just to go over a couple different promises that God has given to us if we believe in Christ. are some such as these. In Romans 8:15, it says that we have been adopted by God, right? When we put our trust in Christ, God says, I have taken you, I have brought you into my family, and you get all the blessing and inheritance that comes with that. That's an incredible gift by itself. And there's tons of blessings we could pull out of that. Ephesians 1 is a great aspect. Sharing what we have gained as well. But it tells us that we are his family. God cares about us as he cares about his son. Romans 8:38 and 39 says that nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. There is nothing that we can do that will cause God to not love us. And he loves us incredibly, an incredible amount. In just a couple verses earlier, Romans 8:28 and 29, this is used very often in difficult times, says that God can use all things for our good to make us more like Christ. I think this is important to remember verse 29, because 28 says God works all things together for our good. But what is that good? And God says, I am shaping you to become more like Christ, because as you become more like Christ, your life will improve. And as you face different circumstances, you will face those circumstances in better ways. Hebrews 4:15 says that we do not have a great high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, because he was tempted just as we are. Christ understands the struggles that we have in our lives when we get frustrated, when we get upset, when we get anxious. It's not as if Jesus doesn't understand and sympathize with the struggles that we have in our lives. He understands it. And so this is a God that not only loves us, that not only cares about us, but Jesus himself says, I understand, I get what you are going through, that this is not easy. But God has also promised to be near to us. In Philippians 4:5, it says the Lord is near. And if we have placed our trust in Christ, this is very true, because the Holy Spirit is said to dwell inside of us. God is with us no matter what circumstance we are in, regardless of how we may feel in that moment. Sometimes it's hard to remember, though, when everything feels like it's falling apart. Psalm 139 talks about how we have been created by God. From the moment of conception, God has knit us together and says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. See, there are many more truths than just these found that I listed right now. But these are the promises that God has told to us. These are the truths that God has given to us that will be the foundation for how we address our emotions. So I'm going to use anxiety as an example, but this doesn't just apply to anxiety. It can apply to sadness. It can apply to anger. And something I think that's important to remember is I don't think emotions in and of themselves are bad. If we were to go through life without any emotions, we'd be no different than a robot. I like to think of emotions as life enhancers. But it doesn't mean that they're always comfortable emotions, or that we should allow them to control every aspect of our lives. For example, before we get to anxiety, anger is an emotion that we all feel, and anger often is a way of realizing that there is some sort of injustice in the world that we feel like isn't fair. Now, that anger can be misplaced. That injustice that we think is not fair may be misplaced, but this is what it's telling us. And so if it's set in the correct spot and we recognize what it is, this can motivate us to do some very good things to address some wrongs in the world. However, Scripture reminds us multiple times to be mindful of our anger, to be slow to anger, to not let the sun go down on our anger as well, right? This is not an emotion we should be dwelling in and resting in each and every day, because it is not good for us to do that. Also, when it comes to sadness, nobody likes to be sad very often, and yet sadness conveys in a very important thing. It shows that we loved someone or something. The reason we grieve is because we cared about that person. We loved that person or that relationship or whatever it might be. We often don't grieve over things that we don't care about. Doesn't mean that sadness is a fun emotion, but it conveys something to us. It allows us to remember the good moments at times, and sometimes the reality, and it allows us to grieve and accept and move forward. And that can be a very good aspect of sadness, but at the same time, if we get stuck in that place where we feel like we can't get out of the cycle of grief and sadness, it can feel like a trap. And I don't think God wants to actually stay there. Now, this isn't to say that there's a time frame on it necessarily. But as it says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to mourn. There's a time to be joyful as well. And so all of these different emotions have benefits. They can be used for good, or they can control us and be used for bad. So when we look at anxiety, this is a passage. Philippians 4 is often a passage used for anxiety. And we're going to use this as an example of how do we address this? How do we change the emotion of worry? Because I don't think we can just, if I were to ask any of you today, right now, without doing anything, without thinking about anything, I want you to be happy right now. That's pretty hard to do, right? Because our emotions are tied to certain things. If you're worrying or you're fearful of something right now, to just tell you to not be fearful without changing anything would be very difficult. I would say practically impossible. But I don't think God leaves us in this. So let's look at Philippians 4, and how do we address our worry? How do we address our anxiety? And so in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So this is interesting. We could look at verse 6 and just say, yep, he says, don't be anxious. That's the end of the story. I just need to work on not being anxious harder. But that often doesn't solve the problem. There's something comes up that reminds us of something we're worried about, something we are fearful of. But God says, I don't want you to just not feel a certain way. I want you to do and think a certain way as well. So he says, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And so this is interesting because God says, I want you to bring your requests to me. And so we actually see a model of this. There's actually a number of different psalms like this, but one of them is Psalm 69, where David is crying out to God for the situation he is in. And just verse 1, just a couple verses, David says, "Save me, O God, from the waters that have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I'm worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God." So David is clearly describing the struggle that he finds himself in right now and saying, God, this is where I'm at. And I would encourage all of us to remember that God is our Father. God is someone who knows the struggles we're going through. And so we should be okay with sharing how we actually feel in these moments, just as David did. And he goes on. We're not going to read the whole chapter because it is a longer psalm. But it's interesting because David's very open. He's very real about where these things are at. But he doesn't just stay there. He says numerous times in the passage, in verse 13 and 14, he says, "But I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor and your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters." And in verse 30, he says, "I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving." So God says, bring your requests to me. Be open, be honest and raw about how you are feeling right now in this moment. But the thing we often forget about, as it says in Philippians 4:6, it says, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Now, this is probably the most difficult part for anybody who's been in a situation where they're anxious, where they are worried, when they are scared of something going on, and God then tells us to be thankful. It's interesting because it's not as if God is saying this is necessarily easy, but this is the path to not being anxious, to not being controlled by our worry and our concern. He says, bring your requests to me, but I don't want you to just do that. I want you to thank me and be thankful for certain things in your life. And what God is doing is he is challenging us to see our circumstances in a different way. And so this is important because we actually see, oh, it's interesting, we see David do this, right? I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. Right? Even David recognized at that time, even in the midst of his fear, even in the midst of the troubling times, he says, I will thank and praise God. And we see this repeated in Philippians 4. Right? In verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. This isn't a suggestion. This is a command. Paul is saying, regardless of your circumstances, you are to rejoice in the Lord. But this is where the foundation comes back into play. Because if we don't know what to rejoice in the Lord in, how can we rejoice in the Lord? Right? We need to remind ourselves of the different truths about God. That God has said, nothing can separate us from his love. That God has said, I am with you, regardless of what happens. That God has said, you have been adopted by me, and I care about you. That it is said that Christ understands our struggles. These are the foundational truths that we have to remind ourselves of each and every day. And these are the things we can rejoice and praise God for all the time. It's interesting, in James 1, it says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. We don't rejoice in the fact that it's difficult in and of itself just because we like pain. No, we rejoice because it says, you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We know that God has said, when we face trials, he can use them to make us more like Christ. God has said he will work in ways we probably may not even understand today. We might understand it tomorrow or at the end of the year. We might not understand it for 5 years. But we can trust that with all the things that are outside of our control, that God has promised that he is going to work to help us for our good. And if we don't understand and believe these principles, it is very hard to overcome our fears, our worries, when everything feels like it's falling apart. So he doesn't just say this in verse 6, but he goes on, and the outcome of practicing this, coming to God with our prayer and petition with thanksgiving, it says the outcome is that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. When we practice this, we will find peace in our circumstances because we are resting in the correct thing. We're resting on the correct thing. We are remembering that God is the one who can handle all the things outside of our control. But Paul continues and he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about these things. If we want to feel peace, we can't just be peaceful. We can't just say, I'm going to be peace more. We have to change something in our lives. We have to change the way that we think, and we have to change the way that we act. And prayer is actually an interesting aspect because it incorporates both, especially if we're praying out loud. Because we have the actions of speaking, but we also have the thoughts that go along with it. And so Paul says If we want peace, we need to come to God with our prayers and petitions. We need to come to God with our thanksgiving. And he reminds us that we need to remind ourselves and rest our minds on what is true, what is good, what is right. But again, these are good principles, but the practice, the application is, what is true? All the things I mentioned earlier. What is right? What is pure? Are we setting our minds on those things? Right? Are we going to choose to rejoice in every circumstance? Or are we going to let our circumstances dictate how we feel in that moment? Right? It's just as like when Peter was walking on the water, he took his eyes off of Christ and he began to sink. Are we going to take our eyes off of our circumstance or off of Christ and just look at our circumstance saying, I don't know what to do? And we might not. Now, there's great wisdom and guidance and practical things that in certain situations we can apply. But the principle is that we need to start with a solid foundation. A solid foundation that says, no matter what happens, I know that God is there with me. That God is near. Now, this is true for anxiety. Briefly, if we were to talk about depression or sadness, some of the different struggles that we have is a feeling of worthlessness, that we are not important. And this is where verses like Psalm 139 come into play, where God says, I have created you from the moment of conception, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. We need to redefine how we see ourselves in light of how God sees us, and that God sees us as someone that he loves and cares about and wants to be close with us in relationship. It can be true for anger. Oftentimes we are angry about many different circumstances, but if we do not change the way we see our circumstances, we will not stop being angry about our circumstances. Sometimes people either choose to be sad or we choose to be angry, and some people find one or the other easier. But often it's about things we can't control. And so are we going to remind ourselves that we know of a God, that we have a relationship with a God that is in control of all the things that we are not in control of? That God has said, vengeance is mine. I do not want you to focus on that. Right? These are the ways that we change how we feel. Now, I didn't have time to get this PowerPoint up for a diagram this morning, but there's a diagram that's called the CAR diagram. It was created by a man named William Glasser. And in essence, it's very simple. He found that in Scripture and in life, the two things that influence our emotions is how we think and how we feel. And I find that that is true all throughout Scripture. God doesn't just tell us to feel a certain way without giving us some direction of how we are to think or how we are to act. As I said in James 1, it says, consider it pure joy, right? Don't just be joyful. Consider it. Think in a certain way. Paul talks about in other parts of Ephesians that we are to take off the old self and put on the new self, but how? By renewing our minds. By changing the way we think about our circumstances. And then, of course, there's all these commands that we are given as well. Rejoice in the Lord always. 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about give thanks in all circumstances. These are directions for how to direct our emotions in a better way. Now, I don't think this happens instantaneously. I'd be lying if I would say, yep, you do this for 2 days and immediately your life is better. Our emotions don't normally work that way. But it's something that the more that we make this a part of who we are, that this is a part of our being, it's not just something that we practice, the more that our emotions will follow in turn. But just as this can be a positive thing, it can become a negative thing. Because as we get to choose what we're going to focus on. If we're going to focus on all the problems in our world and all the things we're afraid of, our emotions will follow that without a problem. If we are anxious about something, we say, I'm not going to trust in the promises and then act in light of them and we pull ourselves away, our emotions will reinforce those thoughts and those actions. And so it takes time to change this. For someone that's grieving and wants to move forward with their grief, this isn't something that just happens in a week. This takes time, it's a process, and that's okay. But if we're not intentional about how to move forward, oftentimes we can get stuck, we can get trapped, and we say, I don't know how to get better. I don't know how to get stuck and how to get out of this cycle of worry, of grief, of depression. But these are some basic principles of how to move in that direction. Now, there's tons of different practical things that we can use. If we talk about Thanksgiving, a simple thing that people sometimes do is they create a thankfulness journal. And what they do is at the end of every day, they write 5 to 10 things that they are thankful for that day. Now, my challenge to people is always you're not allowed to repeat anything. That way, in the first couple days, you get all the easy things out of the way. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for the electricity and the heating. All right, you used all of them up day one. Because the practice, the challenge, is to be thankful in your circumstances every day. That's a lot harder because you have to be mindful of how you see them. It's actually interesting. We talk about this in Vacation Bible School when we talk about God sightings. And we challenge the kids, where do you see God? Where are you thankful? And as we practice that, in, I would say, more mature ways necessarily than maybe a fourth grader, but sometimes that's where we need to start. Are we looking for where God is, and are we being encouraged by that? Because that will change how we see our world and how we feel. And so, my challenge to you guys is this. What are we going to be influenced by? Are we going to allow our emotions to control us and move us one way or the other and live in reality that our emotions, there's nothing we can do about them, right? There's some people that have just gotten to the point where we say, this is just what it is and there's nothing I can do about it. I don't think that's what God ultimately promises. That doesn't mean it won't be a struggle for a long time. We all have our struggles in different areas. But I believe that God tells us that we can continue to improve, that we can get better at this, that we can become more like Christ in these different areas. And so if there's a challenge, if there's an area that's difficult for you, we'd love to be able to talk to you. We have the counseling center that I run called Foundations. I know Pastor Jay would love to talk to anybody. Any of the deacons would love to talk to any of you. But I would love to see everybody here be able to say, I am not controlled by my emotions. I can experience my emotions, but my emotions simply enhance my life, not trap my life. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we are to take every thought captive and conform it to the image of Christ. My challenge to you guys today is, are you going to do that? Are we going to take the thoughts that come into our minds and how we view our circumstances? Are we going to take them and conform them to the promises and the truths that God has given to us? Or are we going to allow all of our circumstances to dictate how we feel? Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the promises that you've given to us and the blessings that you've given to us through your Son. And that Jesus has died for our sins and risen from the dead, and that we can have a relationship with you. And God, I pray that as we put our minds and our hope in all of these promises, that no matter what comes our way, when things are difficult, things are hard, things are scary, I pray that we remind ourselves of those truths. And we would rest in that. That we would find ways to rejoice in you always. And that we would be able to experience that peace, love, and joy that you've told us that we can have. I pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Near the end of verse 8 of Philippians 4 that Eric just talked about, the verse says this: if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And Jesus is surely worthy. Please stand as we worship him.
Thank you.
So that's the question for tonight, for today. Are we going to remind ourselves of who God is, that He is worthy of our praise and our rejoicing? Or are we going to set it in the circumstances around us? We're going to have people down here in the front to pray with you, to encourage you if you have any thoughts, needs, or concerns. And again, we have people here that would love to be able to talk to you if these are things that you would like to be able to work through. So God, I pray that as we go out through our lives this week, that we would be reminded of all the promises and all the truths that are foundational to our lives and that you have promised to us. And I pray that that would mark a difference in our lives and that we would be able to see the fruit that results from it. I pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.